Little increase in production value there for you since the last time you've hung out. Yeah. What's up, French fries, and welcome to a very special edition of Wada Hockey brought to you by the Third Line Draft, Conway and Banks and Sauce Toss. We are always excited to be joined today by a returning guest for, I believe, the third time. He is a former ECHL Defenseman of the Year and most recently set the record for the most assists and points by a defenseman for Ilves Hockey, as well as tallying the most goals for any defenseman in the entire Liga. He's the one, the only, Les Lancaster. Welcome back to the podcast. Yeah. Everyone's been asking for it, and we finally decided to give it to him.
Yeah, you know, third time's the charm. So I'm always happy to, you know, come back on the show and talk shop with you guys.
Well, we appreciate it. You know, like I said, the fans over there in Tampere have been literally knocking down our DMs asking when you're coming back. So, I don't know. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Are you going into this next season as the only import on the team so far? I know that there was another guy, but I don't know. I haven't heard anything about him re-signing. So are you the one and only golden import child, as they would say?
No, we just actually announced a few, I think like 7 or 8 new signings. And there was a couple Czech guys and a Swedish goalie as well. And so there's, as of right now, I think there's like 5 or 6 of us for next year, but I am the oldest returning player. So I do have that claim, unfortunately, being the oldest. But yeah, we had a lot of guys move on from this previous season. So I guess, you know, being the oldest returning guy, hopefully I, you know, bring some experience and leadership to the team next year.
You mean you say you're the oldest, but like I said before, you're setting records. I mean, that you just wrapped up your second campaign with Ilves in Liga, and you guys were part of the Champions League. Can you kind of take me a little bit through that? Because obviously for us here in North America, we just have, you know, your standard NHL, AHL, ECHL, and then the leagues, you know, kind of tier down below that. But over there, it's kind of like a tournament style. Obviously, there's, you know, soccer's huge overseas and really around the world outside of the U.S., so to speak. So what was that like? Was the style of play different for you going from like a Champions League game to back to Liga, or was it pretty fluent as far as the flow went?
Yeah, it was a pretty cool experience. I think that was Ilves' first year in Champions League altogether. So it was pretty cool to be a part of. And we actually got really lucky. We got some good countries to go to, which was Switzerland, Norway, and Austria, Salzburg. So okay. we got a couple really cool places to go to, and you know, it was definitely a little bit different. I feel the Finnish teams are really good skating teams and maybe a little bit more physical, and just the Champions League was at the beginning of the year too, so those were the very first hockey games that we played. So I think you know, the two teams that we played right away were just trying to figure out systems. You know, like I said, those were our first real games, so I think you know, everybody was kind of just trying to figure it out, you know, in live action for the first time. But yeah, it was a really cool experience. We had a team trip to Dornbirn. We were there for about 5 days, and you know, did some really cool things in Austria, and then made our way over to Switzerland to play, which was an awesome experience. They had a really good crowd, awesome arena, and a really good hockey team, which was you know, a fun challenge for us. And then we made our way over to Salzburg and got a win in overtime on the road, and we actually had a really good fan showing there as well. They made the trek all the way out to Salzburg, and I think you know, maybe a direct flight or maybe flew into Munich and then drove down, and we had a full stands you know, of our fans, which was pretty cool, and it was a good game, and to get the win there was awesome. And then we spent a day in Germany as a team as well. So overall, it was really fun. And you know, obviously you know, being an American, not really getting to travel Europe too terribly much, it was a cool experience for me because, you know, like most of my teammates, they've been to some of those places, and, you know, I haven't had that opportunity. So it was really fun for me, and very fun as well.
So it's funny you say that. I remember kind of seeing, you know, social media blowing up. What's the name of that support group you guys have over there? Because I think they were the ones that kind of facilitated the entire trip to go see you guys play outside of Finland.
Oh God. I don't know if I pronounce it right, but it's like Osteo 41.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I pronounce that right. Probably not, because I'm American and you know, it is what it is, but
you got to accept us for our faults. We do our best.
Exactly. It's whatever. I've just accepted it at this point. And at the end of the day, they know what I'm trying to say, I think. So,
yeah, exactly. And you know what? It translates on the ice that you could speak zero. You could say, what is it? Quitos is thank you, I believe. And outside of that, they wouldn't care if you continue to put up the numbers that you have. So,
yeah, exactly.
But you're back over here. You're stateside for the offseason. But you did sign a one-year contract extension with Ilves to return next season. What went into kind of that decision, and how are you looking to top your record-setting performance from the past year? Is there anything that you're kind of looking to maybe hone in on, or is it still just, I'm going to go out and play my game and it's going to translate on the ice?
Yeah, I think, you know, a few things went into my contract negotiations. You know, obviously talking with my agent and, you know, just kind of seeing where things could possibly go for next year. We kept chatting and, you know, I felt Ilves was able to give me a really good offer, especially for the season I did have. You know, I felt like I was deserving of a good contract, and they were able to, you know, to provide that. And, you know, I've said it from the very beginning. It's, you know, I love the organization and I love our city. Our fans are, you know, first class when it comes to, you know, fans in Europe, and our arena, our facilities. Like I said, the whole organization is great. And as a player, you know, you can't really ask for too much more. And like I said, I was happy to sign a one-year extension. And I think, you know, after I did sign the extension, I just kind of felt at ease and kind of knowing I already had my plan set for next year. And all I had to worry about was just playing hockey. And, you know, obviously staying healthy was a big part of that, being able to play in every single game throughout the regular season. And, you know, we also just had a good team. I had a bunch of great teammates with me out there on the ice. And, you know, it's not an individual performance. I can't just do that myself. And,
right.
You know, without them, that record or those records wouldn't have been achieved. So I think, you know, many stars kind of aligned at the right time and just had a really good season.
So speaking of this season, you know, obviously setting those records, do you think anything kind of changed from your personal perspective going into this last year? Would you say that you were more comfortable with maybe the Liga style of play after a full year of experience before that? Maybe that allowed you to kind of see things a little more clearly, or was it just kind of maybe, like you said, the team that was around you meshed a little bit more, or you were more comfortable going into that second season? What would really, do you think, from an outsider standpoint, might have changed, you know, for you to have such a successful second year?
Yeah, I would say the two biggest things were the comfort and then just the confidence. Going into my second year, you know, I knew when I was flying back to Finland, I pretty much knew the whole city already. I knew where I was living. You know, I knew the grocery store,
right?
You know, everything that I struggled with at the beginning of my first year, I didn't have that same struggle coming into my second year. And, you know, I already knew all my teammates. I built, you know, really good friendships and connections with those guys in my first year, and, you know, stayed in touch with them all throughout the summer last year. And obviously going into this previous year, just felt way more comfortable and, you know, just came in and ready to play hockey and felt good. And I think just having that confidence on the ice as well, you know, or that having that comfort kind of translated onto the ice, because I was able just to be a lot more confident and not have to worry about anything outside of the ice hockey rink and just worry about, you know, playing hockey, like I said. And you know, I'd say the comfort and the confidence was key for me this past year. And, you know, going into the third year, you know, we kind of had a weird situation with a coaching change, but
right.
Having success with Pendo, and Pendo is going to be our coach next year. I think we have the same D coach as well. So, you know, just having that comfort and confidence, just for my coaching staff as well, going into this third year, because obviously we're going to have a lot of new players, but for me personally, you know, the confidence and comfortability will still be there for me.
Yeah. I think what a lot of people that watch the sport kind of fail to realize is, you know, just like every other sport, hockey players are a creature of habit. You know, they get into a routine. Most of them have like a pregame meal that they always eat, postgame meal, depending on how the game went, kind of, they want to keep that specific routine. So looking now on this past season, you guys got a brand new arena, brand new training facility. How much did that kind of help you this past season, and how nice was that? Because obviously, you know, throughout your career, you kind of bounced around the ECHL, AHL, and what a lot of people also don't realize is in the ECHL, you're never guaranteed a next year contract. They're pretty much year to year. There are no long-term deals, even though, you know, you do have a lot of guys that are with teams for a long period of time. But what was that like, kind of getting that experience of having that brand new training facility and really kind of being able to hone in on maybe your fitness or your nutrition, or just getting the fact of, oh my God, all this equipment's brand new. Like, I don't have to wait for it to be fixed because it's brand new.
Yeah. I mean, like as an athlete, anytime you have great facilities, I mean, it always helps, you know. And, you know, I've had the experience of playing in the ECHL and, like you said, going up and down in the AHL too, and kind of checking out all these different facilities around North America. And, you know, I've had some tough conditions as a player, you know, is what it is. And, you know, you got to kind of just make do with what you have. But, you know, coming to the rink and, you know, we have a full kitchen in our locker room, you know, there's fruit or snacks or whatever for games. And, you know, our gym is located right there. You know, our equipment guy, they have everything we need there. We have storage there. So it's just, you know, anything that a player might ask for, everything is pretty much right there. And, you know, if you need anything, our organizations, our management, their office is, you know, right down the hall from us. So if you need to go talk to them or whatever, you know, everything's resolved really quickly. And it's great. You know, like I said, it makes coming to the rink nice. You know, you're not coming to some crappy arena or yeah. crappy locker room where you kind of have to smush in. You know, we got a great facility, and as an athlete, as a player, you can't really ask for anything else. And, you know, just kind of seeing what it's done for our city. You know, the world championships were there last year, and
yep.
they're there again this year. And, you know, they hold a bunch of concerts, a bunch of different events. So it's, you know, it's definitely bringing some revenue to our city as well, and kind of making our city like a hockey capital, and, you know, not just Finland, but kind of Europe as well.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, speaking of equipment, you and I have gone back and forth a couple times. You know, I think we both used the same stick over the last couple months. The only difference is you go with the traditional, I believe, black and green to match the green. Will we ever see a white and green debut on the ice? Is that a snafu that we're never going to see you have in your hands?
We will probably never see myself using a white hockey stick or spray painting it white. I did it one year in college. I think it was my sophomore year. I spray painted my stick white. I'll see if I can send you a photo of it, because you'll love it. And I used to get chirped all the time for it. So ever since then. I think Joe Pavelski is the only one that really uses a white stick. And
yeah.
When you play in the NHL and score goals, like, it's crazy. It's true. You can do whatever you want. So
yeah. Now Warrior's done this like weird gradient where it starts off, the knob is black, and then once it gets to the blade, it's completely white. It's, I don't know, obviously with the ECHL being a Warrior sponsored league, you see it a lot. But yeah, if it makes you feel any better, like I said, both have been snapped. They're out of warranty. I do have a Pavelski stick that I do use in games, because it's just, it's a feeling. you got to go out there and having that Pavelski stick, you just feel like you can score on command, even though it's not the case. But
the skill level is a little different, but the looks are the same, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You get it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then next year, you know, I guess league is probably going to adopt all the tinted visors. It'll be just the filthiest league. Like look like an EC or a NHL 2K or 23, whatever. Yeah, on the ice. But so back to kind of your time over there. You've had two full seasons with Ilves now on the books. What has been kind of your most memorable moment on the ice with the team so far? And then off the ice, you know, obviously you build a lot of bonds, and I would assume that those bonds are a little bit stronger because you kind of have to overcome that language barrier. So once you kind of get comfortable with the guys in your locker room, what has really stood out to you from both on and off the ice in your time with Ilves so far?
Yeah, on the ice, I mean, man, there's so many moments on the ice. It's hard. I mean, you know, when you're playing in front of 10 to 12,000 fans a night, I mean, you know, we've had some really close games and some just electric games as well. It's, you know, I think it was game 4 of the playoffs of the second round. I think we had a sold out crowd or whatever. And,
yeah,
you know, we were down 2-0 and kind of battled our way back, and I scored a power play goal late, and you know, the crowd just went crazy. That was probably like one of the loudest, you know, loudest crowds I've ever been a part of, to say the least. I mean, it was just, it was such an electric feeling and, you know, really cool to be a part of. And as something on the ice, it's really hard to say. You know, I love playing against the other team in our city, because every time, you know, we do play each other, it's 12,000 fans in the arena, and it's always a battle against those guys too, and it's just a lot of fun to, you know, play those guys. And but on the ice as well, like I said, we got to go to Switzerland and play hockey, got to go to Austria, play hockey, went to Norway as well. So it's been a really cool experience to play all around Europe, and I kind of look forward to doing it again next year as well. But off the ice, you know, kind of gives me the opportunities, like I said, if I was in America, I wouldn't be able to get. And when we have our international break in November, you know, they typically give us a week to 5 days off or so. And I was able to go to Italy and spend a week in Rome and kind of travel and see some things. And, you know, obviously if I was in America, I wouldn't have the chance to do that. And with Rome being, it was like a 3-hour flight, you know, I was able to hop on a plane quick and spend a week over there and just kind of see the world and, you know, get those experiences I wouldn't be able to if I was back home. And I think this November we're going to plan on going to Greece and, you know, maybe check that out a little bit, or maybe Paris or something. You know, it's kind of undecided, but still, just to have that opportunity is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you're essentially getting to live out, you know, a lot of people's one, you know, sports dreams. And then obviously the travel aspect of it just makes it even that much sweeter. But now you've gotten to spend time, like we said earlier, in the AHL, the ECHL, and in the college ranks, as well as Ilves now for a couple of years. Would you say the locker room culture in Finland translates to the US, or is it a little bit different of a culture over there from your perspective? Obviously, like we said, language barrier is always going to be there, but you know, hockey is one of those where, like, once you're in the family, you're kind of in the family. Do you kind of get that sense while you're over there and, you know, going into the locker room, especially now being one of the more veteran style guys in the locker room, you're probably going to be taking on a bit more of a leadership role. So what's the locker room culture like in Liga versus maybe the AHL or ECHL?
Yeah, I'd say the culture is definitely different. You know, just a different part of the world, right? In general, just the culture in general is different, where, you know, what we have in America, you know, you have all North Americans and maybe a few Europeans on your team or whatever it may be. And, you know, it's vice versa where, you know, obviously in Finland now we have a lot of Finns. And as of right now, I'm the only North American for next year. Whether that's going to change, I'm not exactly sure, but it is a little bit different. I mean, obviously most of the team speaks Finnish, so that's primarily what is used in our locker room. And all the imports will speak English. And but like my teammates do a good job of including me in on, you know, what's being said or whatever. And, you know, so I don't feel left out at all. And I think just with my personality, you know, I'm pretty talkative and just kind of, you know, have that charisma about me as well, that I'm just a big personality in the locker room, always talking or giving shit to somebody. So, yeah. You know, it's just, that's just kind of who I am. So, definitely a little bit of a different culture, but, it's still fun to be in the locker room with the guys.
Yeah. So let me ask you this then, kind of on that topic, you know, you would be what we call, you know, a glue guy. You're got to keep the team together. Are we going to see the return of Iceman, maybe in Finland, get the bleach blonde back and just kind of walk in and just hope that they've seen Top Gun? They're not is happening?
That it's actually hilarious. I forgot who I was talking to about that the other day. No, I will not be dyeing my hair bleach blonde again. I remember doing that. Josh gave me shit for it too, but I don't even know why I did it in the first place. And obviously I had a really good year in the ECHL, so I think at that point I was like, screw it, let's just stick with it and keep going for the year. And but no, I did it after the year I had last year. I probably shouldn't change anything, so no, I will not be dyeing my hair for next year.
All right, we can lay the rumors to bed then. So it, like we kind of talked about this before we started recording, you know, it's no secret you're an avid golfer, and recently had the chance to play Jupiter Hills, which is one of the most prolific, you know, country club courses in North America. Outside of a course like that, what are some that are kind of left on your bucket list to try and get out there and play in the off seasons?
Yeah, well, I have a big bucket list trip coming up. I leave for Scotland in 15 days now. So
Was it St. Andrews under the belt?
Yeah. So I'm going playing St. Andrews, Carnoustie, Kingsbarn, Dumbarney, and another course at St. Andrews, and then going to spend a few days in Edinburgh. So yeah, it's going to be a trip of a lifetime and something I've been planning for almost a year now. So, you know, the fact that the time is already here, or, you know, right around the corner is crazy. And, you know, I'm very, very excited for it.
Are the clubs making the trip, or are we going to do what the course has available for you?
Oh no, the clubs come with me everywhere I go. I brought my clubs to Finland this past year, played a couple courses in Finland. I'm actually flying up to Michigan tomorrow to see some of my family and spend Mother's Day up there for the week, and bringing my clubs as well to play with a few buddies from back home. So no, the clubs go with me just about everywhere I go. I don't leave those things behind.
Yeah, I think it was the first season you were like, I don't know, I'll just go and we'll figure it out. And then second year, you're like, no, we're a package deal. Everywhere we go.
Yeah, it was tough too, because I didn't really know what the weather situation would be like or anything like that. And, you know, going there my second year, pretty much in the months of August and September, I was at the golf course almost every single day. So it's a very limited window of when I can golf in Finland, one with just the season, and two, the weather just gets so bad so quick. So
yeah,
it's a very, very limited season, but it's still a lot of fun. No matter where I go out, I always enjoy it.
Awesome. Well, on the topic of golf, I've heard this kind of asked in a few different podcasts, so I figured it'd be a perfect question to ask you. You have the chance to add three golfers to make it a complete foursome one day. Who are you picking as your other three and why?
Tiger Woods. Easy question. He's just, for what he's done for the game of golf, is crazy. I mean, nobody will ever come close to any records that he has.
And no.
Just a big Tiger fan. Rory McIlroy, also a huge fan, probably one of my favorite golfers ever. And probably one of the Korda twins on the LPGA.
Okay.
Because I know, like, you know, as a girl, they'd still kick my ass. So no matter what, and still probably hit it further than me as well. And
yeah.
You know, I don't know, I love just going out there with whoever and kind of, you know, seeing how golf is played in many different ways. That's the beauty of the sport. You know, there's not really one way to shoot the puck or, you know, swing or whatever, right? It's man, I love it. It's a great game.
Okay. So this wasn't even written down, but you know, obviously it's been kind of the hottest topic in golf for the past, 2-3 years. What are your thoughts on the LIV Tour versus the PGA Tour? It feels like it's kind of settling down a bit, especially now in the last like 6 to 12 months. But what was kind of your initial thought when that all kind of came to light and they were basically like, yeah, we got this Saudi league now. Were you for it, against it? Did you kind of take the side of Rory and Tiger and you're like, nah, it's not for me? Or were you on the other side of the coin?
Yeah, at first I was like obviously against it because, I mean, none of the details really came out. I was like, what the heck is this? This sounds terrible, or like, what, you know, whatever, the product, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, I think everything's kind of settled down now. And, you know, a little competition is never bad for sport. But,
right,
you know, it's just kind of funny. Like the PGA takes all these stands and then, you know, increases purses for certain tournaments or whatnot. So they're, you know, ultimately kind of doing the same thing as what
exactly,
you know, so it's kind of hard to hate one or the other when, you know, they're kind of both doing the same thing now. Right. So, I know like the big ordeal right now is like the world golf ranking points and rankings, you know, like Dustin Johnson, probably one of the best golfers in the world, is now like outside the top 200 or whatever, or something like that. So once they figure out all those details, I'm sure, you know, everything will kind of get back to normal. But yeah, it's just one of those things where it's kind of whatever. But yeah, I still watch the PGA almost every weekend when I can. And you know, if there's a LIV tournament on, I'll probably just kind of watch that for a little bit as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it was kind of a little bittersweet to see old Brooksy break down on the final day at the Masters. Let's be honest. And
I was actually kind of pulling for him. You know, it's especially, you know, living down here in Florida now around all these golfers and all that. It's,
yeah.
You know, especially as an athlete, you never really wish to have another athlete do bad. So, no, I was definitely pulling for him to make a charge on Sunday.
Well, you never wish they do bad unless they're playing against your Detroit Lions. And you kind of hope for a breakdown on the other side. But
when it comes to the Lions, I'm a diehard Lions fan. So that's about the only team I will ever root against is if they're playing the Lions. But as in typical Detroit Lions fashion, they still find ways to break your heart every week. And
I mean, the Maple Leafs made it out of the first round. Crazier things have happened this year. So there's a lot that could still happen for the Detroit Lions. We'll just have to stay tuned. Plenty of time before the NFL season comes back.
I think they were favored to win the division for like the first time in, I don't know, a long time, to say the least. I saw a tweet the other day. It was because they just had the new king coronation or whatever for the UK. And I saw a tweet. It was like, the last time there was a coronation, the Lions won the Super Bowl. So, you know,
this is it. Here we go.
Crossing fingers that trend continues.
Well, kind of diving back
I already told my general manager too. I said, if the Lions go to play in the Super Bowl, I'm flying home and I'm missing those games. And I will be going to that Super Bowl because I'm not sure if I'll ever get that chance in another lifetime.
I was going to say too, I mean, they've got to understand, you know, especially if Finland is in some kind of national competition, regardless of the sport, and it's like a once in a lifetime opportunity. They have to understand.
It's American football, man. They don't understand over there.
That's fair. We like the violent sports.
Yeah, exactly.
but yeah, kind of going back to Ovis, what was something that you kind of learned this past season about Finland overall that you may have missed, you know, on that first trip over to Ovis in that first season? Kind of like you said, you were just so inundated with trying to figure out, you know, what everything actually meant from the language side of things. But now that you kind of went back for that second year, you were like, okay, I'm comfortable now. I don't have to worry about a routine. I know where I'm going to go. Did other things start to kind of pop up to you where you were like, I really didn't notice that the first year I was here?
Yeah, I think just, you know, my second year, like I said, obviously I was a lot more comfortable, but
yeah,
I think I just kind of dived into like the Finnish culture a little bit more. I started, you know, going to the sauna.
Sauna every day.
Yeah, and jumping into, you know, going into the lake as well, you know, during the winter time. And, you know, when my family came to visit, like taking them and doing that. And one of their big things is black sausage over there. And, you know, okay. So I tried that a few different times, and interesting.
It doesn't look like it ever took. So
yeah, no, it's okay. I mean, you know, like I think just trying to dive into the culture a little bit more, and you know, the language is still a problem for me. I think now, obviously, kind of hearing it for 2 years, I can pick out words and kind of understand, you know, what is being said, but there's no way I could, you know, say them myself or put it in a sentence, or, you know, I can't understand full sentences, but I can understand words and kind of get an idea of like what my coach is trying to say or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I can't even imagine. I'm pretty sure it's one of the most difficult languages to not only learn, but like then try to be fluent in. I can't even imagine.
But yeah, it's hilarious too, because, you know, I'm down in Florida now, and I was at the store the other day, and somebody told my girlfriend, he was like, "Hey, like, you know, Les has a really thick accent. He has like that northern accent." I didn't even know you could have a, you know, have a northern accent. So, you know, it probably doesn't help now that I have an accent.
Yeah.
And, you know, Finnish being such a hard language too, it's, you know, it just doesn't bode well for me at all.
As long as you continue to translate on the ice, I really think, like I said, that's all that matters. They don't care about anything else.
I guess that's all they really care about.
So kind of to stand back a little bit and dive into like a hypothetical type of question. You know, obviously you've had a pretty lengthy career at this point. Is there something, like, if you had the opportunity to go back and talk to a younger Les Lancaster, maybe, you know, 10, 11, 12 years old, before maybe hockey became really everything, or, you know, as it was starting to become everything, what would you tell your younger self as far as like career advice or maybe even life advice? Is there anything that you wish you could have kind of heard back then that might help younger skaters of this generation kind of going into their next, you know, season part of their career?
Yeah. I wish I would have told myself to start golf earlier. No, it's, you know, one thing I've always said, you know, if you look at my career path, it's nothing glorious at all. You know, I've pretty much had to grind and kind of prove myself everywhere I've gone. I never played in the USHL, you know, never played in the CHL or OHL, Q or WHL, whatever, you know, any of those leagues. And, you know, went to Mercier, is kind of what some would consider like a bottom end Division One, you know, program. You know, it's not Boston or anything like that. And I played there for 3 years, had three successful years, and got to go to the University of Denver for a year and have a chance at a national championship, which was awesome. And never got an AHL contract, no NHL deals, you know, just a ECHL contract. And my first year, obviously got called up to three different AHL teams, and, you know, just kind of stuck with it and just kind of bet on myself, and, you know, signed a good deal over in Finland, and have had two successful years over here. So in a really tough league, I mean, I truly think Liga is one of the best leagues in the world. I mean, we have so much talent in our league, and, you know, not even just the old guys, but the young guys. I mean, we got 18, 19 year olds that are, you know, playing heavy minutes for some teams and then getting drafted in the first round of the NHL, or stepping in, you know, and playing in big roles in the NHL or AHL teams. So I don't know. I think our league is incredible, but to those young players, I mean, you just got to kind of stick with the process. Like I said, it's not always about, you know, being drafted in the first round or whatever. You know, it's a tough battle. It's, you know, everybody can't have the same career path. So if it's something you definitely want to do, you just got to kind of stick with it, bet on yourself, and keep grinding a little bit.
Yeah. There may or may not be a subtle hint to a stop in your career behind me over my shoulder with the Rampage jersey. We had Jack Combs, who plays for the Americans, also went through the Rampage. Rest in peace to the Rampage. Obviously, they are no longer with us. They are now the Henderson Silver Knights.
And yeah,
they're the absolute bottom of the AHL. So good riddance to a degree. But no, I think that's fantastic. Obviously, you know, it's like you said, it hasn't been glorious, but you've kind of worked to a position now where you can kind of be comfortable and really take what you've learned and what you've earned and kind of, you know, take it into the rest of your life, so to speak. So,
yeah.
You know, at this point in your career though, is there anything more that you hope to accomplish outside of what you already have? I mean, you've set records, you've been in MVP conversations, defenseman of the year, like we said at the beginning of the podcast. You know, outside of the obvious, I want to be in the NHL. Is there anything that you hope to accomplish for or throughout the rest of your career?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think there's still a few steps on the ladder to climb. I mean, obviously, yeah, an NHL contract would be phenomenal. I mean, that would mean I, you know, achieved one of my goals, you know, since I was a kid, and would get the opportunity to come back home stateside and be closer to family and play, you know, home, you know, as, yeah, so to speak. And obviously it's very tough for me and my family to be so far apart. And,
right,
you know, obviously Finland, it's just not the easiest country to get to as well. So it's, you know, it's hard to make a trip to come see me or whatever it may be. But yeah, I mean, I'd really like to win a championship, you know, whether that's with Ilves or somewhere else. You know, winning a championship, I've never really won anything as a player. I've been close many a times, but have just never really been able to kind of get over that hump. But I know if we were to win a championship in Ilves, I think our city might burn down with excitement. So I think, you know, that'd be something really cool to be a part of. I know what we've been building the last 2 years, and truly what a championship would mean to our organization and our city and our fans. I mean, it would mean everything. And I think, you know, bringing a championship back to Ilves would probably be the best place to win a championship, I would say, just because, you know, it would mean so much to not only the players, but to everybody else that's involved within the organization. So, like I said, whether, you know, I stay long enough to win a championship with them, I'm not sure, but, you know, I'm definitely going to do all I can for next year to bring the championship home.
I mean, it's you're setting records already. So, I mean, Ilves, I guess, watch out, more records to come, breaking your own records at this point. But yeah, I couldn't agree more. I mean, it's been just such an interesting journey, obviously getting to know you, you know, in your time here in Texas and now over in Finland. You know, we've been very fortunate to stay in touch with you and a lot of the guys we've had on, but, you know, it's been a very special kind of relationship that we've formed with the fans of Ilves. So, you know, personally, I just want to say thank you to all of them. You know, we kind of talked about a couple of them, you know, specifically on Twitter that have been pretty active about getting you back on the podcast. So I'm glad we were able to do that. Now, this is probably the last one I want to toss up to you before we call it. But I've always been curious because this is something that I think about a lot. You know, I just play beer league hockey here for those over in Finland. It's basically you're just not very good at all. That's when you play in our league or adult league, you know, better and easier to understand. But what goes into the decision? Obviously, you were number 14 over here stateside. First and foremost, what was the meaning behind that number? And was there any meaning behind the 74 they were, you know, kind of bestowed upon you over in Ilves? Or was that pretty much a, hey, you have these numbers to use. We've retired a bunch of them. This is all you've got to choose from. Was there any thought process in that? Or was it pretty much just like, I'm 74 now?
No, there's a lot of numbers retired in Ilves. I want to say it's like 1, 2, 4, 7, 9, you know.
Yeah.
No, not 9, because somebody was 9 on our team this year. 14, I know, is retired, you know. So 14 was retired. And, you know, I was 14 when I was younger. My grandma's favorite player growing up in Detroit, and especially when I was young, you know, the Red Wings were winning all those Stanley Cups and
right,
had really good teams. And her favorite player was Brendan Shanahan. So I kind of adopted that as well. And I used number 14 for pretty much all of my sport teams, whether it was baseball, hockey, or whatever it may be. So I figured the 74, you know, the 7 kind of looks like a 1 and kind of just adopted that. So that's just what I went with.
I mean, it's a good look. It's a strong look. It's a strong number. But yeah, so again, man, thank you so much for taking the time. This one's kind of impromptu, but you know, you've got the Panthers logo behind you. I'm obviously a Stars fan. Who's going to win the cup this year? You know, you got the Panthers, really got the Maple Leafs on the ropes. The Stars and Kraken are tied up at two. The Hurricanes look absolutely dangerous. And then there's just a dogfight between Vegas and Edmonton. So, you know, from a professional standpoint of someone who does this for a living, what do you think it's going to take, and who do you think is going to raise the cup at the end of all of this?
Man, well, after living in South Florida now for a little bit, my girlfriend and I, we actually went to a Panthers playoff game against Boston, game six. And it was a great experience. I don't think I've been to a hockey game as a fan in such a long time.
Right.
So, you know, I think, it'd be really cool to have the Panthers, you know, keep going so I can keep going to playoff games. I've slowly become like a weird Panthers fan all of a sudden, you know, so I'm kind of pulling for them to make a run as far as they can. But man, Dallas probably has a really good opportunity. Carolina, it looks really good as well. And, you know, Vegas seems to be playing pretty good right now too. And I just think the really cool thing is, you know, three out of the eight teams that are remaining haven't even won the cup, and the team that has last won it was Carolina in 06.
Yep.
So, you know, somebody is kind of, turning the page in their organization or making a really good step. I think Dallas was what, 99?
99, yeah, was the last time.
It's a really cool time in the NHL. You know, it's not Boston or Chicago or LA, you know, all those teams that have kind of won it within the last decade. So I think it's a really cool year that, you know, you're going to see a new organization kind of step up and like I said, make that turn.
Well, there you have it. The expert, the professional hockey player himself with the decisions. Les, once again, man, want to thank you for taking the time, obviously with you heading out of town tomorrow, visiting family. You know, I always appreciate you hopping on, chatting with us. I know the Ilves faithful are going to love this. And again, just a huge shout out to that organization.
You gotta be careful about some of those people on Twitter, man. Our fans are ruthless on social media. I know they're going to enjoy this. So hopefully, well, at least I hope they enjoy it. If they don't, they'll let you know. That's for sure.
they've been all pretty positive towards us so far. I mean,
that's good, man. They're not always positive towards us players. So,
oh, I get it. I mean, we're Stars fans, you know, we have the same fan base as the Cowboys. So, you know, it's either this is the year or burn it all down. So there is no in between, but we've been very fortunate.
I know it's crazy when we're winning, we're the, you know, best players in the world, and
absolutely.
And they want to sell the whole team and
and ship them out
every single player. So it's fun. Oh, I had to turn off all my social media during playoff time, man. It was crazy. It was something. All right. But no,
it doesn't, I mean,
hopefully they enjoy this and it gets a good response from everybody.
I don't see it not happening. I think the fact that Ilves has a support group all the way over in Dallas, Texas, of all places. I think, you know, a lot of them are just tickled because I think they're like what you said, there's some of the best hockey in the world outside of the NHL. And, you know, we're just trying to bring more attention to it. And if I can watch hockey on a weekend at 9 a.m. our time, I will absolutely 100% wake up, make some coffee, and do that. So
I would say have a cup of coffee, eat a donut, watch some hockey. Eh?
I mean, there's nothing better. There really is nothing better. So, but thank you for taking the time to hang out with us. Les Lancaster, Ilves staple, returning back for a third year. And to all the Ilves fans, be nice. All right. Be nice. All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Hey, thanks. Like I said, always fun chatting with you guys, and, you know, always happy to come on the show and, you know, talk shop a little bit. So
absolutely. Won't be the last time, but thank you again. And we'll definitely see you on down the road.
Sounds good.